Now, would you turn with me, please, to that portion of God's word that we read. The gospel as we have it according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew's gospel chapter 27, and we might read again the words that we have there in verse 19. Speaking of Pilate, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." You know, friends, when we come to read of the trial and the crucifixion of the one who is God in our nature, we cannot but help to be moved. And I believe that even a casual reader of the Gospels himself cannot but be moved by such an event. You can see how they moved and how they conspired against Christ. You can see how they lied. And even Pilate knew that it was out of envy that Christ was offered up to him to be tried. Now, we must never think that Pilate was a ruler that was soft. He was a fierce man. He was a man that was engaged in murder, a man that was engaged in extortion, a man that was engaged in corruption and would continue to be engaged in it all the days that he was going to be a proconsul. But there is one thing that is evident here from this verse before us, and it is this: that God was speaking in a way to Pilate's soul. And as God was speaking to Pilate's soul, he was using Pilate's wife to bring this sermon before this dastardly leader. We don't read much of Pilate's wife. Indeed, we read very little. But we have here brought before us this evening a glimpse itself into her thinking, into how the Lord had dealt with her, but also a way how the Lord deals with men and women. And I want us to think, as the Lord would enable us this evening, of a number of things that come out of this passage before us, this short verse. The first thing is this: that the providence of God works in union with the work of God. The providence of God works in union with the work of God. The providence of God in sending a dream. Some of us, we go through the night and we awake in the morning and we know that we have been dreaming. Can we remember them? Sometimes we cannot. I don't know how we think of a dream. We might think of it in many ways, perhaps as something that is unimportant. But friends, we should be ever conscious that the Lord would keep us from sin, both in our waking moments, but also in the watches of the night, that he would sanctify even those sleeping moments to us. But you see here, the Lord had come and he had ordered this dream of Pilate's wife. He had brought a providence upon her. He revealed and he showed something. And all we have here is a summary in verse 19. But he showed something to her of Christ. We are told that he was to have nothing to do with that just man. So God revealed to her the justness of Christ. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. You see, this wasn't one of the dreams that she awoke from the morning and all had passed by. This was a dream that had come to trouble her very basic nature itself. You see, the Lord here was working in providence to bring this dream unto her. And so, this message that she would then convey unto her husband. Now, if you were to go back and you were to look at some of the writers of the past, some of the older writers, some of the church fathers, they believed that this dream was a dream that was sent by the devil to prevent the cross. Well, Calvin didn't believe that. The Reformed didn't believe it. You know, friends, when we come and we see what was here, there was something at least of the root of the matter, I believe, in this woman, and that is merely known as his wife. The providence of God in union with the work of God. Yes, there was providence in this dream. But there was providence also that the dream was accompanied by a mental disturbance. A mental disturbance. We are told that she suffered much. Whatever it was in that dream, and we're not told, and we're not told for a reason, the Holy Spirit has kept that back from us, but whatever it was in that dream, this woman had saw a great agony. I don't know what she saw. Did she see the cross? Did she see the crown of thorns? That crown which speaks to us of sin itself? Did she see that there was one who would bear that crown upon his head? That he would die upon the cross of Calvary because of sin? Not his own, but the sin of men and women and young people, boys and girls, such as we are. Did she see the spitting? Did she see the scourging? Did she see the vinegar as it was passed up to him in all of its horrors? Well, whatever it was, she could say that she suffered much. And this suffering that she had was a suffering, I believe, that tells us much about her. It wasn't perhaps an outward suffering. It wasn't an outward horror. As we shall see in a moment, she was so moved. Maybe it was the case that she could see past the cross. Maybe it was the case that she could see even past the resurrection. Maybe she was given a glimpse that the Lord himself would return one day in glory. That there he would judge all men. They would give an account of themselves to God. The books were open. Wasn't that a thought this evening? That on that day when the great assize is, it will never be any miscarriage of justice. The books of evidence will be open. The book of nature will be open. Those that have heard little of the preaching of the gospel and who would deny the existence of God, the book of nature will be open. The book of the special revelation of God will be open. The books of memory will be open. In a week's time, you will perhaps forget this sermon this evening. You will forget the text. In a couple of weeks' time, I will forget much that I have said. But friends, on that day when the books are open, the book of my memory and the book of yours, it will all be brought back. Maybe it was that. But whatever it was, this woman was moved to agony. Pilate was now sitting upon the judgment seat. He was now sitting, and Christ was standing before Pilate, so Pilate thought. But you know, that day, in that judgment hall, Pilate was standing before Christ. Just as one day, you and I will stand before Christ. Just as, in a sense, we are standing before him this evening, under the preaching of the gospel. You see, whatever terror that she had, this terror was something that she felt was going to be a greater terror, a terror of all her days. What was this, friends? This was the hand of God. This was the hand of God. Providence. But providence also that she would send her husband a message. You notice what the message was. It was short and it was simple. It was, "Have thou nothing. Have thou nothing to do with this just man." As I said, we forget most of our dreams. Most of our dreams perhaps are in chaos. That's how we are. But you see, based on this dream, there was an urgency in Pilate's wife to send this message to Pilate. She was impressed. She had a sense of urgency. The sense of urgency that she had was that Christ was a just man, and to do him harm would bring great calamity upon her husband. This was a strong message. You know, this message, when the governor was sitting in the place of judgment, when he was sitting, we might say, upon the bench, to interfere with a judge as he was in the process of judgment, under Roman law, brought death. And it would have brought death even for the wife. She knew that. But friends, so moved was she that this message must go forth. But you'll notice also that there was providence in the timing of the message. It was a dream of the morning. See what we have there. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." You see, the governor had got from his bed. The governor had gone down into the judgment hall. His wife lay on. And this dream that came to her was therefore the dream of the morning. Now, this is significant because there was this belief in the Romans that a dream that came in the morning was considered to be true. I believe that perhaps there was a frailty in the woman. She lay on. She was weak. And so she puts every effort into interpreting for the good of her husband what this dream was. The providence of God was working in union with the work of God. Now, friends, I might be speaking to somebody here this evening. And you can look back into your life. And maybe it might not have been as dramatic as a dream. But maybe you can look back into your experience. And you know perfectly well that the providence of God was speaking to you. God in his actions was speaking to you. Some of you might have been in harm's way when you were driving. Some of you might have been through a severe illness and you've been brought through that. Well, friends, what are you to make of that? Well, you are to make the application, first of all, that the Lord is so dealing in his providence and speaking to your soul, if your soul is still not right with God. We are to take the providence of God and we are to take the word of God, always seeing that the word of God is indeed that which the Spirit blesses to our soul. The second thing we can say is this, that the conscience can be accessed by God the Creator. The conscience can be accessed by God the Creator. You know, in today's world, we hear much about atheism. We hear much about humanists. And perhaps we write them off as those who are hardened, so hardened, that the gospel will have no impact upon them. We don't believe that for a moment. Nor can we accept that for an instance. Because while there might be nobody here this evening, and you are what would be called a theoretical atheist, that you are like Dr. Dawkins and say that there is no God. We know that in the days of our pilgrimage outside of Christ, those days that we walked, we know that very often we were walking as practical atheists. God was not in all of our thoughts. He was not before all of our minds. And yet the conscience itself, your conscience and my conscience, can be accessed by God the Creator. You know, it is the case, isn't it, that we believe that nobody can see into our mind or into our hearts. Ah, friends, there is God Almighty. He's the one that peers into the heart. And how could Pilate himself be reached? Well, Pilate was not going to be reached by the apostles. Where were the apostles? Why, they had fled. They had deserted the Savior. He was not going to be brought the word of the eternal truth by any of those followers who followed out from the apostles. They had also gone away. God reaches through a dream. And friends, this evening, God can reach into the heart, no matter how hardened that heart might be. We are never to give up. And I say this to us this evening. Many of us here will have fathers and mothers still out of Christ. Many of you here will have sons and daughters still outside of Christ, brothers or sisters still out of Christ. And perhaps they have hardened or they have gone wayward or whatever that might be. And you have almost come to the point that you do not believe that there is going to be an immediate answer to your prayers. Our friends, I say this. Do not give up. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for the young people. Continue to pray for the older people. And perhaps especially for the older people who are still rejecting truth. Pray for one another. Because God comes here and he brings this message to the conscience, at least through a dream. So God reaches through a dream. But you'll notice here that God reaches through his wife's dream. This is more powerful than if he dreamt it himself. This is more powerful as it comes to the mind of Pilate than if he had that impressed upon him by the Lord himself. Because the Lord is using the means, he's using the structures to prick the conscience and to prick the mind. We are often influenced by the subconscious. You know, perhaps Pilate would have said to himself, well, you see, I've heard some of the evidence and that has affected my dream. And that's often how it is. We go through the day and we often dream about the things of the events of the day. But this wife, as she comes here with this dream, was an affectionate wife. She was very near to him, very dear to him. And so the Lord uses her to bring this word. It seems that the historians of the time, they give this woman, as she's unnamed here, they give her a name, Claudia Procula. Now, we don't know much about her, but there seems to be something from the historians, at least, that we could say in a measure that this was a good woman. And God reaches man through the thoughts that he rises within him. I wonder, friends, over the years, maybe over these past months, God has been troubling your thoughts. Maybe it is a case that you have seen that the time has gone past and you maybe were troubled at a time in the past. And you had forgotten all about being troubled by the gospel. You had forgotten all about being unsettled by the word. Maybe over these months of lockdown, the Lord has been using circumstances to remind you that here we have no continuing city. That life itself is, well, it's very brief. That the gospel itself, as it goes forth and as it speaks, it reminds us about urgency. It reminds us to flee the wrath to come. It reminds us that behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But you know, as we come here to verse 19, God was doing something to Pilate. He was giving Pilate an ultimatum. He was giving Pilate an ultimatum. And we also have similar parallel passages in the Acts of the Apostles. We have that in the Acts of the Apostles, and we find that in chapter 24. We find it in chapter 26. And you will remember in Both of those cases. One, we have a Felix. The other, we have an Agrippa. And what have those two things got in common? Well, you will remember with Felix, as the gospel was preached to him and Paul was bringing before him righteousness and judgment to come, we are told something about Felix, maybe something that we ourselves have never experienced if we are outside of Christ. Many of us have in the days before the Lord dealt with us. That under the preaching of the gospel, Felix trembled. He trembled. And that is an effect of the word of God as it goes forth. But you know, friends, we should remember this. That Felix trembled. And as somebody said, Felix trembled alone. All those around about him, we are not told, trembled. And Felix only trembled. There is one thing to tremble under the preaching of the gospel. Oh, friends, it is another thing to close with Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. And that's what it is that saves the soul. And then you will remember that there was Agrippa. And what was his conclusion? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, God reaches through a dream. Here God reaches through a wife's dream. Here God reaches man through the thoughts that he rises within him. Third thing is this. The providence of God in union with the work of God. The conscience can be accessed by God the Creator. The best means often leads to what we would see a returning of that which is void. We would see. You see, it was the best method to reach Pilate with the gospel. Now, I'll just say this to us, and I'm shortening what I was going to say. But we can say a number of things about Pilate. We can say that Pilate was a man that was self-centered. And I think that is obvious. He was a powerful man. He was afraid of the Jews because they were saying, "Thou art not Caesar's friend." He was a self-centered man. And ultimately he would send Christ to the cross because of this fear of losing his prestige. He was also a coward. He was also a coward. Here was a man that had legions of troops, and yet he was cowed by the Jews. But he was also a man that was a presumptuous man. He was a presumptuous man. You'll notice what we are told that he does. After they say to him, "Release unto us Barabbas," he goes and he washes his hands. And he says, "I am cleansed from innocent blood." Oh, the presumption. Friends, Jesus Christ is preached. Jesus Christ is set forth before the eyes of men and women and young people. He has been over these weeks, months, years in this congregation. Now the question that must be asked this Sabbath evening is this. Are we crucifying the Lord of glory afresh by rejecting him? That is the question that must come to your soul. And of course, here was a man that was a double-minded man. A double-minded man. He wanted to release. And then he wanted his prestige. Let me say this evening, because there might be somebody here and you have been pondering a question. And the question is this: you look back into all the times you have heard the preaching of the gospel. And what will you have heard in the preaching of that gospel? Well, you'll have heard the word going forth that you are to flee to Christ. I quoted the text earlier on, for instance. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is the urgency of the gospel and of your responsibility in the gospel. But you will also have been told, and it's part of the full orb ministry because it's part of the counsel of God, that you have that responsibility to come, but you don't have that ability to come. That it is only according to the working of the Spirit of God in your life. That it's only by the drawing of Christ in your life. Now, those are not two contrasts. Those are not two different views. That is the one gospel. And how can both be true? Well, friends, they both can be true. And they both can be reconciled. And I'm conscious as I'm going to throw out a name now that I might well be wrong and somebody will tell me that I'm wrong. But I have a feeling that it was Rabbi Duncan who said that we must come and we can't come. Yet we must come and we can't come. We must come and we can't come. And how do we reconcile those? Oh, he says they can only be reconciled in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, when we come. And friends, that is so this evening. That it's only in Christ himself. I'm reminded of that verse, that text that was used in the conversion of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. It's only when we're at the ends of the earth, when we are perplexed by the urgency to come, and a lack of ability to come, when we are presented by that, that we look to Christ himself. The fourth thing, and we finish with this quickly. The condemnation of those who reject in the light of the clear knowledge. Pilate didn't know much. Pilate did not sit under a ministry in Stornoway Free Church continuing like you have. Pilate knew nothing hardly of the Old Testament and he knew very little about Christ. But friends, he was guilty beyond all excuse. He was guilty beyond all excuse. You see, out of his own will, he condemned the Lord of glory. Out of his own will, he condemned, without, we believe, a sentiment of trust in the Lord of glory. He was informed that he was the Son of God, and yet he rejected the truth. He could not say it with faith. Truly, this is the Son of God. You see, the message itself was most distinct. It was suggested by a dream, and yet it was vivid, and yet it was clear. It was presented before him. Well, friends, is it so that under the preaching of the word, maybe over a period of time you have been under conviction of sin? You know, people often say, well, you have to have a long conviction of sin. You have to be under conviction of sin very heavily. Well, I don't know how long the Philippian jailer was under conviction of sin. But it was enough that he would throw himself upon Christ. Because, you see, the message was distinct and the message was clear. The horrible evil that he was about to do was clear to him here in Pilate. His presumption was great. He could see that this was a just man. And that, friends, would surely ring in his ears down the countless ages of time, long after he had gone away from Judea. Pilate sinned after his conscience was touched. After his conscience was touched. After the truth had come to his affections. After there was this impression placed upon his emotions, he had sinned. Now, friends, in a short while, we'll be coming to the end of our service. Short while, another Sabbath day will have passed into history itself. You know, how often, I was thinking in the afternoon, how often it is that we sit under the Word of God, and how often we have been touched by the Word of God even in our unconverted days, and it has little impression upon us. And yet, that is a most serious thing. It is a most serious thing. And I would say to you this evening that here we have an account of a lady, a very short account. And yet in that dream of Pilate's wife, there is brought before us the way that Christ deals with us under the gospel. And he might not always deal with us in this way, certainly not by way of dream. But he brings to us nevertheless the clear teaching of the word, the distinct teaching of the word. You remember there in Luke's Gospel chapter 16 that we are told that there was a rich man, and Lazarus, and they both died. And the rich man went to hell and Lazarus was carried away into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man would have Lazarus to go back to his five brothers to warn them to flee. And he says, they will believe if one were to rise from the dead. And what was the word that came to them? Oh no. Oh no. Not even if one would rise from the dead. There is something greater that they have. Moses and the prophets. The word of God, friends. It is clearer than any dream. And yet the Lord continues to use instruments like this by his Spirit to draw men and women and young and old onto that saving knowledge of Christ. And we pray that it might be so even here this evening. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray. Our gracious and ever-blessed Lord, we draw now once again to a close. We pray that thou would continue with us, that we pray that thou would follow with thy blessing all the feebleness of man, for it is not man that will be seen. And we pray that thou would forbid it, that it would be man that would be remembered. Oh, we know that man can be criticized. But Lord, it is the still small voice that follows after by the power of the Spirit, and that will draw men and women and boys and girls, young people, onto the Redeemer of God's elect. So gracious Lord, we pray now that thou would go before us, take us to our homes, be with us even as we continue the remainder of this day. Receive unto thyself that which is rightly thine, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.